is a way maker, Jesus. Is a way maker, Jesus. Is a way maker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came and answered my prayer. One day. Is a way maker, Jesus. Is a way maker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came, answered my prayer. One day he made a way for me. Now one day the sun refused to shine. Down in this sinful heart of mine, I prayed both night and day that Jesus would make a way. Then he heard my humble prayer, and he answered right then and there. One day he made a way. Aren't you glad about it tonight, church? I know my Jesus. Is a way maker, Jesus. Is a way maker, Jesus. Is a way maker. One day he made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came and answered my prayer. One day he made a way. Yes, he did. And I'm going to tell you something. Since that day, my life has never been the same. How about yours? I'm so glad that he can do something for you that just changes you. A lot of people change their mind today and change it back tomorrow. And they thought they got something, and they found out they just got a decision, and somebody talked them into something, and then somebody talked them back out of it. But I'm glad when he does a work in your life, I'm glad he seals you into the day of your redemption. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. It's camp meeting time. Praise the Lord. Play some more of that if you will. Let's sing a little bit more of it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're extremely glad to see you tonight, each and every one of you. It's so good to see you in the house of the Lord. Brother Eddie and Sister Faye Yance, they're back in service with us tonight. Praise the Lord.
Brother Eddie told me just a few minutes ago, he said, I had to go to the doctor today. And he said they kept me in a wheelchair, and I sat there nearly a half a day. And he said, I told my wife, if I can sit in this wheelchair a half a day, I'm going to church tonight. Right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're so thankful for that. We're glad all of you are here. It's just a really an honor and a privilege from the Lord to be able to come to the house of God. I don't come here because I dread to. I don't come here because nobody makes me. But there's just something here that makes me want to come to the house of God. Are you glad about that? Are you glad that's in you? Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. I want to pray for Carl Stacy tonight. He's 93-year-old, fell and broke his hip. They're asking that we would remember that prayer request. Brother Matt Garrett that was here Sunday morning and sang for us. They go to Brother Joseph Hammond's church down in Murfreesboro. That was his grandfather. And we got the message on Sunday afternoon that that had happened. So let's pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that man. Brother Orville Reese wants to thank the Lord for what the doctors was able to do for his brother Richard and for the prayers that you all prayed for him. Last Friday, he was taken to the emergency room in Kingsport. He had lost a lot of blood. They had to give him 6 units of blood and found the problem and fixed it. And thank God he is doing great, and they want to praise the Lord for that tonight. So somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Matt Carter says to please pray for Mike Wade for healing. He's got a real bad heart condition, also for salvation for his soul. The doctors have given him up. They're just asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. The Lord would be mindful of that. Brother Johnny Little sends this in. My daughter-in-law is in the hospital. She is expecting a child. The doctors say that she has pre-eclampsia. Please pray that this will be resolved and give all the glory to God. So we want to commit that unto the Lord tonight. This was sent over to the library. I am 27 years old. As a child, I was given an injection which affected my left leg and feet, making it shorter than the right. This has made me so timid, withdrawn, and also an object of ridicule. I believe I can be healed and made whole. Please pray for me. Ask God to give me a creative miracle and make my left leg and my feet whole again. May God bless you. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request tonight. This is Sister Georgia from Sister Georgia Franks in Maryville, Louisiana. I'm asking my brothers and sisters to please remember me in prayer. I'm having unexplained pain in my body and needing a healing touch from God. I'm trusting and believing in healing. I know that my God is able. May God truly bless each one of you. I know each of you through the streaming. I love you, and she wants to know that she appreciates this assembly. So praise the Lord for that. I want to pray for Tiffany Smith Peter. She is suffering from headaches, and it is going to be seeing a neurologist. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. The Lord would be mindful of her situation. We believe that God's able to do that, don't we? Amen. Please pray for Sister Louise Oliver. She is Brother Lance Parker's grandmother. She fell and cut a large gash in her lower leg 5 weeks ago. The leg is infected again and is not healing well. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. Brother Jesse Altland sends this in to please pray that I can find a job. I was recently laid off. Thank you so much. I believe it will happen. So we just commit that need unto the Lord. God is more than able. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Dan Dyer, are you able tonight to come take us to the Lord in prayer? As we stand tonight, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Let's sing just a little bit more of that chorus tonight as Brother Dan comes to take us to the Lord in prayer. I know my Jesus is a way maker, Jesus is a way maker, Jesus is a way maker. One day He made a way for me. Oh, when my life was dark and drear, Jesus came and He answered my prayer. One day He made a way. love this guy right here, don't we? Amen, Brother Dan. We love you, buddy.
Appreciate you. God bless you. Here's the prayer.
Let's pray. Oh, precious Lord Jesus, what a privilege to be able to speak to you. Lord, we thank you so much for the spirit that's in this church, for the gift that's in this church. We love to come here, Lord, to hear the word and to grow, and we thank you for that. Lord, we ask you for direction in our lives. We've come here to hear that. Oh, Lord, we ask you to forgive us for our weaknesses and our mistakes that we make. But, Father, these requests that have been read, we believe. We certainly believe that's what we're taught. That's what we believe. That's what the Word says. It's what our heart says. It's what our Holy Spirit says. Father, we lift these up to you, really serious. And it's so hard sometimes for us to put ourselves in the place that these people are. We need to realize that. I do. You know, when we're hurting, we're really hurting. And sometimes we just don't take the time to be sensitive to the next person. God, help us to do that. Lord, bless this service tonight. We love you and thank you. And we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come tonight, receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight in the service, we certainly want to take this time to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. I want to welcome some folks tonight to the service. Sister Colleen Holmquist says to please welcome my grandmother and Aunt Isabel and Royale Weems. I hope I got that name right. Where would you folks be? Raise your hand so we can see you. Ferrari, God bless you. Give them a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. We're certainly glad to have you with us tonight in the service. And anybody else that's visiting, may God bless you. We're so glad to have you. Let me make this announcement before we sing. If you can find Heaven's Jubilee on the screen for us tonight. There was a representative from the Elizabethan Lions Club came by the library just a few minutes ago. And, of course, you know, the Lions Club, they take part and do a great work for eyeglasses for children, adults, needy children, needy adults that don't have the means to purchase these things. On Saturday, October the 29th, 2016, at 6 p.m. at the Elizabethan Recreation Center, 300 West Mill Street, there are going to be furniture, estate items, antiques, baked goods, $250 raffle, and much more that will be taking place. All the proceeds will be used for eye exams and glasses for needy children and adults in our community. Now, that's at 6 o'clock Saturday night. You've got time to go up there and bid on something, get back to church, and somebody will call you and tell you if you won. We can't let you miss church to go to an auction, but do, if you get a chance, run by there and take part in that. We live in this world. We're community-minded. We are Americans. I mean, we live in America, right? We want to be community, good citizens in our community. Is that right? Well, we got three people that wants to be good citizens. Rest of you, what do you want to be? How many of you want to be good, outstanding citizens in your community? Certainly you do. Now, all that being said, let's sing a song tonight. God bless you. We want to participate in that, if at all possible. Heaven's Jubilee. What key you got me in? Is it F? Is that F? Put it in. There you go. Praise the Lord. Hope we can reach you right there. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. Coming after you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. The sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in
see all the saints in dead, rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory. Savior in the sky.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a little bit of that song tonight. I would not be denied. Is that your desire tonight to have that testimony? I would not be denied. I believe we have a couple of songs tonight. Sister Phillips has a song for us if she come onto the platform. And I believe Chloe and Martin, I believe she may have a song for us tonight. If she'll come onto the platform, we'll have these young ladies sing for us. Are they in this room? Are they even in this town? Where are they? Are they here? Are they coming? There they come. Give them a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you tonight.
When pains of death seized on my soul, unto the Lord I cried.
And Sister Chloe does not have a song for tonight, but Sister Phillips is here to sing, and we're going to listen to her at this time. God bless her. You can be seated tonight.
Mm-hmm. that I am ashamed. But I heard that you would listen, so I'm giving you my plea to unworthy Lord to come to you. Could you please come down to me? Know that there are others who could offer more than I. I promise you I'd understand if for me you had no time. Just hit bottom. Would you please come down to me? I guess I must be reaping from the seeds that I have sown. And Lord, you owe me nothing. We haven't spoken for so long, but if you could spare some mercy, Lord, I pledge my life to thee. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? I know that there are others who could offer more than I. I promise you understand if for me you had no time. I think I just hit bottom and I'm looking up to see. I'm too unworthy, Lord, to come to you. Could you please come down to me? I think I just hit bottom, and I'm looking up to down to me.
Thank you, Sister Phillips. That was good. We got a new discovery. I didn't even know the lady sung. But she sung well, didn't she? Praise the Lord. Amen. We appreciate that. Amen. Stand tonight, if you will. Brother Donnie's getting ready to come bring us the word of the Lord tonight. I know you're looking forward to that. Let's sing the little chorus together. Papa God, if we could do that. You guys know what? Can you do that either? Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You cleansed and made me whole. You
touch my heart, you change my soul. Now I know I need you so, Papa God. Let's sing it now. Change my soul. Now I know I need you so. Oh, sing it one more time with all your heart. Oh, Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You cleansed and made me whole.
Once again, oh, Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You have cleansed and made me whole. You touched my heart, changed my soul. The Lord. Aren't you glad you can call Him that tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads together if you would for prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, as I heard your prophet say it yesterday, the greatest privilege that a mortal has is when he bows his head, closes his eyes, and calls on Father God. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. We thank you that we don't do it because it's a tradition. We do it because it's an experience to us. You are our Father, and we thank you so much for your love to us. We are so grateful to be your children. Lord, we ask you tonight that you'd help us as we've gathered here at Father's house. We've gathered that we might hear of your word, that we might be enlightened, that we might understand, that we might be corrected if we need it. Whatever we need, we're just committing it to you tonight, Lord. We ask that you would help us. Take your word and speak to us and enlighten us, Father. You see this prayer cross that I have in my hand. Lord, you know this need. I'm asking you, dear God, in the name of Jesus, you would move for this mother. Lord, in this situation of carrying this child, Lord, you see the status of their soul. And I pray that light would break forth around them. Anoint us, Father, to be able to speak your word. Anoint the people to be able to receive. Minister to us, Father, according to your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. How many is enjoying the book of Acts?
Amen.
How many is enjoying being the book of Acts?
Amen.
We are the book of Acts, continuing. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. Now, most of us country folks would tend to kind of think God wouldn't use a guy like this guy. He's a powerful speaker, very eloquent. Look what the word eloquent means. Logios. Learned, a man of letters, skilled in literature and the arts, especially versed in history and the antiquities, skilled in speech. So his and haint and tote and fetch and pack, Apollos wouldn't have understood what planet you was from. Praise the Lord. Now God can use men like this. That's right. This man's going to be one of the great outstanding men of the New Testament. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, so those of you that know your history know Alexandria is actually Egypt, city founded by Alexander when he conquered Egypt. So he is a Jew, but he's from Alexandria, Egypt. An eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. Dunatos, able, strong, powerful, mighty, strong, to be able to do something, excelling. So he's not only eloquent to be able to speak, but this guy knows what he's talking about. He's mighty in the scriptures. Came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit. Now listen how outstanding this man was. He's eloquent, he's mighty, but he's also fervent, which means he has a passion, a burning something in his spirit. Boy, if God can get a hold of a man like this, he'll go a long way. As long as you don't get the big head, it's amazing what God can do. And being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Knowing only the baptism of John. When this man gets the Holy Ghost, look out, devil. Look, friends, he's several dispensations behind. But he is so gifted and so profound. And he don't even know that Jesus has come yet. He don't even know the Holy Ghost has come. He knows nothing about the apostolic age. Oh my. He only knew the baptism of John. Verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. A man and his wife, that neither one of them was preachers. Now this is a kind of man right here I can admire. A great man, eloquent man, mighty man, but not big up here. Can you imagine he could humble himself to sit around the table with a man and his wife who understood more about the gospel than he did? Praise the Lord. Oh my. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures. He had a change in his doctrine. That Jesus was Christ. Where'd he get that at? Where'd he get that at? Aquila and Priscilla. He only knew the baptism of John. My Lord. Don't ever think God can't use you. Don't ever think God can't put his light and his word into your heart. Praise God. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. May God bless the reading of his words. You may be seated. Now let's look at this in verse 25 again. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, apparently he had the correct view that the Messiah was going to come. He knew that the Old Testament had prophesied it. He knew that Israel needed a deliverance, that Israel needed help. But as of this time, he didn't know the Messiah had come. He knew that John was a mighty man of God. He must have got called in when John's introductory part, and John preaching for some 6 months. But somehow, maybe being in Egypt, being apart from the land of Palestine, No doubt being baptized into the baptism of John, he had heard bits and pieces. It had so touched this man's soul. Now I think we can all agree here tonight, this man was elected to eternal life. But look how the light, what little bit of light that he had, so illuminated his soul. It ain't no wonder this man excelled so when he got the Holy Ghost. He was a firebrand. And all he was preaching was the baptism of John. So he was saying, one's come, one's come. The voice of one's crying in the wilderness, it's here. My, if he's come, then the word, something's fixing to happen. He's two dispensations behind. So watch what Luke says. And remember, Luke was the one that was writing this. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Now we know there was many things of the Lord that he could have taught in a prophetic tone, pointing to what John the Baptist had said. And John had great light. Remember, he turned the hearts of the elect in that dispensational change of that time from the Old Testament to the New. As a matter of fact, Jesus said of all the prophets of was born, there was none greater than John. And John had a great commission and a great light. Yet it was for only a short season. But this man shows us him more than any other of those that was the disciples of John. The illuminating power of what John actually had. Now he heard of John and embraced his doctrine. And Luke says he had heard of the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. This man was instructed in the ways of the Lord. So he was fervent in spirit, being instructed, and he was taught diligently as far as he knew. But you know, there's something that I really, really appreciate about Aquila and Priscilla, their attitude toward this man who did not know what they knew. Now, truly, Aquila and Priscilla wouldn't have made very good message people. Because a lot of message folks, when they get to a spot that they know more than somebody else, they stick their head up in the air and their nose with it, and they'll go to looking down to everybody else that don't see what they see. Well, praise the Lord. Now, you know, a real good Holy Ghost filled person wants to share what they have with others. So my brother, sister, if you know more than me, show me. Tell me. But I'll tell you what, don't come to me with a bunch of quotes and scriptures first. I want to see what it's doing for you. And if it's making you proud, arrogant, smart aleck, you don't need to go to church. Don't waste your time coming to me, because I won't take nothing from you. You see, if it's not making you more like Jesus Christ, more like the illumination of the power of the light of God for this age, don't waste your time on me, because I won't be your disciple. But if it's making you more like Christ, making you more in love with Him, and more pity on those who don't see what you see, then come give me a talk, and I'll sit down and talk to you. But if it's making you more arrogant and proud and smart alecky, don't waste my time. Because the Lord knows I won't receive anything from anybody I ain't got confidence in. And you might as well say amen to that, because you won't either. So notice the attitude now of Aquila. Now remember, this is a woman. And they did not believe in woman preachers. But yet this woman must have been able or allowed, when they were sitting around the table and fellowshipping and talking about the good things of God, because Luke includes her when he goes to talking about this man receiving further instruction. You mean a sister can tell about the good things that God has done in her life and she's not handling the word? Oh, some of you's getting real spooky now, ain't you? You see, a woman can have a good testimony too. A woman can share good things that God has done for her. Praise the Lord. That's right. Now watch in verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them. Notice, they took him unto them. They, plural, took him, singular, unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God. Now look at the humility and the teaching
teachableness of this man's spirit. Now, no doubt, if he was a profound speaker, to where that the scholars themselves couldn't hardly say anything against what the man had to say, that Aquila and Priscilla would have seemed somewhat a little bit inferior, because you could tell this man really knew a lot about what he was talking about. But they knew there was more he could talk about if he only knew it. Praise God. You imagine them thinking, man, if this guy can catch up with where we are, he's going to be something else for the kingdom of God. So they felt in their heart to be able to pull him aside. And no doubt, you know, they stood there and they began to look at him. God help us, what should we do? What should we say to this great man? He's a real talented man, a real gifted man. You imagine that they were praying about the divine approach. There is an approach for us to be able to help those to where we might be a little bit more illuminated than what they are. And yet if we approach in the wrong way, we can totally ruin the whole mission of what God wants us to do. Now, Luke was silent in what they said. He was silent in their way of approach, but it must have been one led by the Spirit of God. Now, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, notice, this gives us a key that they did not say to him, you are blind, you are ignorant, you are stupid, and you are very foolish. No doubt they must have started out, as Brother Branham said, if you was coming up on a contractor and he was putting a roof on a place and you had some type of piece of equipment that was able to shoot nails real fast or something like that, and you would tell this man, you are doing such a great job and you do really good work, but I've got this piece of equipment here that would actually make your work more productive and faster and so on and so on and so on. And then, you know, as the scripture here tells us, that they begin to expound to him the word of God more perfectly. So they didn't come and say, you're blind, you're ignorant, you don't even know how to get out of here, what in the world's the matter with you? No doubt they must have approached, oh brother, how gifted you are, man, what wonderful thing you've got to say. So you follow John the Baptist? Yes, I mean, that was a great prophet of God. I'm telling you what, and maybe they just started from there. So you believe John was a prophet? Yes, absolutely. So do you think he introduced the Messiah, or is he yet to come, or what? My brother, you've done such a wonderful job. We were so blessed, but what about this? And maybe they raised a question with Apollos, and said, I hadn't thought of that. Brother, we'd like to help you see, hear, and understand today. The Messiah has come. What? What? You mean he's here? No. He's done been here and gone. As a matter of fact, several years ago. And he sent back the Holy Ghost, and there's an apostolic ministry and an apostolic church in the world. Really? You mean there's a move of God? There's people that believe in that. Brother, there is more to it than what you're saying. Oh my, really? Boy, I've had been some message preachers that have got up and stomped out and shook the dust off their feet, took them out from under the blood. Oh my, I'll tell you one thing, I don't care if a man's been preaching 175 years, if he ain't teachable, he needs the Holy Ghost. Amen. God help us all. Notice this, and when he was disposed, now, you know, Luke, I love the way Luke does this, that he leads us up to a certain spot and then he goes silent. Now, Luke doesn't say what went on. Luke doesn't recount what the part of what he just goes up and said, they expounded to him the word of God more perfectly. And then he picks up in verse 27, when he was disposed to pass Achaia, which was the chief city of Corinth, the Corinthian area, that notice what happens, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much which had believed through grace. Now, after he gets an illumination himself, what does he want to do? He wants to go further now with what he has. Can you imagine that he's going back to similar areas where he was at and preached a revival before? And the last time he was there, boy, glory to God, John the Baptist this and hallelujah, John the Baptist that. You imagine when this guy walks back in the pulpit again, he's like a blazing flame of fire. You can't hardly calm him down. He said, folks, we're 50 years behind. Folks, let me tell you something. The Messiah has come. The Holy Ghost has come. There's a church in the earth today. And you imagine they're sitting there thinking, is this the same guy that was here 6 months ago? It surely is the same guy. But this same guy has now been illuminated by the light of God. Oh, hallelujah. My, had received a greater degree of light.
Yes. Amen.
How many believers are supposed to be restored back to the apostolic faith?
Yes.
Let me show you something the apostolic church did. Watch this. When they disposed to pass the Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him.
Amen.
Do you understand if this was still practiced in our message? There'd be a lot less false preachers and false singers and people living lives going around doing this and that and the other. If churches was in contact with one another and preachers was in contact with one another. Praise the Lord. This is apostolic. People who don't have a home church to go to shouldn't be out trying to straighten everybody else out. Well, glory. Now, notice the apostolic way when the apostles and the church is being founded. Now, this comes from once they see that Apollos has now embraced more light. Now they are able to recommend this brother. And how do they do it? By letters. So this man, it was a very great thing. They said, bless God, God called me. I don't care if you all send me or not. Oh, but that wasn't the way the apostles looked at it. And that wasn't the way that they wanted to benefit this man. And that was by what? Sending out letters of what Paul called commendation. You understand that how a lot of folks get their foot in the door, whether they be singers or preachers or whatever more, that are of questionable character, is because the same simple rule is not followed to this day. If people go around stirring up trouble and they don't have a home church to go to and cannot be traced back, where they can be questioned, they shouldn't be received at all. This is Bible doctrine, Happy Valley. That's right. Now notice when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote. Well, why didn't he just go by the Holy Ghost? He was going by the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost was using the church. So the church is now going to commend them. They didn't just let anybody and everybody get in their pulpit. So they wanted or needed letters of commendation or recommendation. Well, my. Who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. Now, this man had a lot to say, and he was a very great brother. As a matter of fact, he excelled very rapidly. You study the history of Apollos, and you see within just a few short years that because his gift is so powerful that he's named right up there with Paul. As Paul said, well, one watered, Apollos done this, that done that, which is quite amazing, considering that Apollos was not a prophet. But because of his gift, being a certain way, there were certain people in that day that leaned more toward him than they did others because they were more intellectual people. But now the brethren actually wrote to exhort them. Now watch this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Now this was an apostolic practice, that if a brother went around and said, well, this man, I'm a preacher. I'm going here and there and there. So, well, where's your letter of recommendation? Now, it was not a denominational license. It was not sent from a denominational headquarters, but they wanted to know who was among them. And if they did not have it, they did not preach. Well, praise the Lord, saints. I'm sorry y'all didn't know this is in the Bible, but it sure is. So what did Paul say? Now, Paul said, do I need to have a letter of recommendation to you all writing to the Corinthian church? Remember, he's the one who founded the church. So he said, do I need a letters of recommendation as others do? Do I need that, or have not I received that already in your sight? Now, Paul is not doubting that, but he's establishing the fact. And what would Paul do then later in many of his epistles? He would call brothers' names, and he is recommending them to other churches and telling them to receive them.
Amen.
Oh, my.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, not only on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again you may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gratitude. Now notice what was an apostolic practice among the early church, that they would recommend certain brothers to receive. And if the local church didn't recommend you, it wasn't a good sign. Sorry, friends. Should I preach out of a comic book? Would y'all rather I preach out of a Better Homes and Garden or something? This is the scripture. Praise the Lord. Notice again. Oh my. Because of your work for Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now Paul mentions his name and tells the church, receive this man. He's worthy. Now here it is, a letter of recommendation. So what if this man was a man of less character, and Paul would have warned them against him, or Paul remained silent on his character and he tried to go in behind Paul and go around Paul and go ahead and go in. Now the well-trained church would have not have received him. Paul's silence would have said, there's a problem here. Well, thank you, Jesus. I didn't realize I was going to have to preach an amen myself tonight, but I guess I'll have to. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose. Now watch what he's doing. Here again, Paul is mentioning minister's name. You understand? Brother Branham did exactly the same thing. He didn't call Donnie Reagan, Tim Pruitt, Ron Spencer, Darrell Ward, David Soller, Terry Horn, Wes Willis, or some of us men, but he said that there will be preachers that will come and carry this message on to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Brother Branham, being a true prophet of God, would have to follow apostolic order. And that's why he would recommend the fivefold ministry even after he's going to go. So those then who think it all culminated in Brother Branham are teaching false doctrine and error. They are not apostolic, they're off the word. Because Brother Branham recommended the ministry, and if God wanted to, he could have called every true preacher's name thereafter, but God knew he was going to do it, so he just had Brother Branham to go on. Do we need Brother Branham? Are you the only one that should preach? Oh, me? Who in the world told you that? I'd be a poor representative to Christ. I'm only one small pebble among big stones. Is that what he said? Question and answer, 1964. And he ordained preachers right there in 1965. Do we need them? We do. He said, we need men of God in the pulpit. He never said tape recorders. Well, that's what he said anyway. What was he doing? Recommending the ministry to continue on after he is gone. Now, Brother Branham himself would have taught him, you don't need preachers no more. Then you know what? I wouldn't be a preacher because I believe what Brother Branham said. And it would have to line up with Scripture. So here Paul is going to mention these names. Now, remember, there's already this move among them. As Paul talked about Timothy, he said, I have none but Timothy, who is so like-minded, who is of the same psyche or the same soul as I am. He said, all men seek their own. Now here it is, the first century AD, and you've already got the preachers that are around Paul's message, and many of these preachers are seeking their own. They want their own gift, their own ministry, their own place. And what a sad thing for Paul to have to say. You can see the need for him to recommend them. May I say, how much more do we need it today? Come on, saints. Oh, my. Notice he says about Tychicus, whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your heart. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Articurus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, which is Mark. The one who wrote the book of Mark. The one who him and Barnabas had the falling out over some years prior to this. And Mark, a sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, what? You mean they needed his permission? No. They wanted his counsel and guidance. Now, if he would have said the slightest little thing and a negative thing about this man's character, the true churches would have not received him. They would have said, I don't understand what the deal is, but Paul said we better not do it and we better leave it alone. Amen. Well, I wish somebody would at least amen or ouch or something or other. And then we claim we're apostolic. We claim we're restored back to the original word. Oh, my children. If we would practice this today, this man's called to preach and this one's got a ministry and this one's going to do this and that. Who's your pastor? Where do you go to church? Your pastor approve of this and the other. Oh, no, 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 no. Well, we don't need no pastor. Any man that don't need a pastor ain't going to be preaching here. Any man that don't need a pastor ain't going to be singing here. Oh, no. Ain't going to be doing nothing in this church. Now, you can come and sit, but as far as coming in, you're using your ministry. If you don't have a church, you ain't got no part of the ministry here. Sorry, that's not apostolic. And if your church can recommend you, you're not welcome to this pulpit. That is scripture. Oh my. And Jesus, which is called justice. That'd have been a peculiar name to have in that day, wouldn't it? How you doing, Jesus? Who are of the circumcision? Now, this man was a Jew. These only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, which is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayer. Now, you imagine, why would Paul do this? Do you think it's a mistake? You think it's an error? He's led of the Spirit of God. They need to know men that are born of the Spirit of God. Men that can be recommended. Men they can trust. How much more do we need it today, friends? Oh my. That ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. Now going through mentioning one man's name after another, what is it? An order or a letter of commendation. Then no doubt there were other men around that was trying to do this and trying to do that, and their names were left out. Well, thank you, Jesus. Philemon chapter 1 verse 10. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past to thee was unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Now the background of the book of Philemon here, whenever Paul is writing, he's writing to a man on behalf of Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave, a bondservant. He had run away from his owner. But he got converted. Now here Paul is writing back to the owner on behalf of Onesimus and saying, I know at one time it wasn't profitable for you. He really done you wrong. But the brother has really got saved. He's really got converted. Well, praise the Lord. I guarantee you one thing. If a lot of preachers wrote books about us, and they could say, now, there's a time Tim Mullins wasn't profitable to you, but he's profitable now. There's a time Dow wasn't profitable. There's a time Dow wasn't worth a nickel. But he's profitable to you now. Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that even though there may be a stage in our life that we was unprofitable, the Lord can turn us into something that is profitable? Be to God. Aren't you glad that God allowed things like this to be written in the Word so we could see these first Christians, what they went through? They went through low times in their life. They went through times they were not worthy of the gospel. But God turned them around by His power. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. That's right. Whom I have sinned again, thou therefore receive him. That's it.
Now you imagine they're having questions. You know what he done? I'll tell you one thing. Paul said, I know you've had issues in the past, but receive him. Notice this. Mine own bowels. He's changed. He's different. Receive him as my son. Now I ask you, would this man's ministry ever got off the ground if it hadn't been for Paul? You see, for those who feel like they don't need churches, they don't need the pastor, they don't need an association, well, I'm just a traveling singer, I'm just a carpetbagger. You're in the wrong dispensation for carpetbagger. I don't answer to nobody. Bless God, I ain't got a pastor. Then you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. In time, Brother Darrell, this man would have been able to redeem himself. These few lines right here took years off of his labor by the recommendation of a man of God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my. Why would the church, were they trying to control them? No, they're trying to help them. So which would have been the best? For this man to wait until Paul could write, no doubt, Paul, my brother, would you please speak for me? Is there something? Wait, brother, wait. Wait till I'm sure. Wait till I can feel the assurance in my heart. He must have felt it right now. So he writes and recommends this brother. And you imagine the words of this man of God as it began to console and soothe the hard feelings about this brother. And the man said, oh my, sure I forgive you, brother. Come on back. Come on back. Earl Onesimus could have said, I don't need Paul. I don't need his approval. I'm called by God. Glory to God. Go ahead. So move right out from behind that one who can represent you and move in front of him and start building on your own. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Do you understand, friends? Paul needed that link. When Paul got the Holy Ghost and the Lord showed him the vision, supernaturally, God didn't just throw him right back into the church. Barnabas was the link that helped join Paul to the body. You can't blame him for being afraid of him, can you? You can't blame him for being scared of him and everything else, but God put Barnabas in his life and connected him. He could have said, bless God, I don't need you, Barnabas. So go ahead, hardhead. Go ahead and try to establish your ministry, and had wasted years of his life trying to do it on his own. But he was able to succumb. A prophet of the age was able to succumb. Don't you understand? God used the Pentecostals to be able to lead Brother Branham, amen, into the Pentecostal ranks. Most of them wouldn't have had nothing to do with the Baptist, but it was in the way of God to let this daughtery man and this man and that man, him to go. And Brother Branham said, bless God, I don't need you Pentecostals. Hallelujah. I'm a prophet of God. But what did he do? He went over here and preached and went over there and preached. And God used that as an open door to get to me and you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many times God is checking us out to see if we'll break ranks. Oh, my. Now let's go back to Apollos. Verse 27, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come helped them much, which had believed through grace. It's quite outstanding. This is just a little while ago. He didn't believe in it either. Can you imagine? This man must have been like a stick of dynamite.
The revelation of God by the new birth must have so illuminated his soul. And they saw such a change in him. No wonder that he excelled at such a rate that Paul would even link his name with his. Oh my. Now you see, Corinth being a Greek culture, Greek speaking people, these Greeks loved Apollos. Remember, it was because of this that a clique had formed in the Corinthian church. And they were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. Now this man hadn't been around hardly no time. But yet his ability, his gift. I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. The black folks want a black preacher that's the best. The white folks want a white preacher that's the best. The East Indian want an East Indian that's the best. They ain't no need for you to sit there and look at me goo-goo-eyed. You might as well admit it. Why? That's people that's looking at their flesh instead of the Holy Ghost. What difference does a man's skin color make? I don't care if the best preacher in the message is a black man or an Indian. My goodness, we should be grown up and up beyond that sort of thing. We don't need a white Messiah or a black Messiah or a red Messiah. We need the Word to be the Messiah. Oh my goodness, children, if we're still caught in the race thing, there's something wrong with us. We shouldn't have to have a black leader or a white leader or a red leader. We should need the Holy Ghost to be our leader. But notice how the Corinthians acclimated. Now Paul told them, I didn't come to you with great words. And you imagine he had to be so careful. So careful in the way that he wrote this, because it can be easily misunderstood that he's attacking Apollos. I didn't come to you with enticing words of men's wisdom. Remember, this is part of Apollos' gift. He's a great scholar. He's a great educated man. But Paul had to write it in such a way. Look, brothers, Apollos is my brother. But we cannot lean toward the intellect alone. We've got to have the Spirit of God. But some of them leaned more toward Apollos. Why? It was their flesh. Some of you won't be honest and say it, so I'll say it for it. Some of you would lean more, acclimate more toward a scholarly, teacherly type pastor. One who didn't sweat, and one whose tie wasn't over here when he got done, and one breached his leg up like that when he got done, and looked like he'd been in a horse race, and I was the horse. Some of you would prefer someone more eloquent and someone who spoke words, you know, right on your level, but God knew what you needed. Oh my! And what did he do? Because they were leaning toward their flesh, they made this Apollo click. Why do you think we have clicks in this message? Why do you think that the seven thunder move and all these preachers' names, I can mention them all, and you know how it is, it's still ongoing with this one or that one or the other one. It's not the Spirit of God, it is flesh. And people who idolize any man's gift are doing the worst thing to that man they can do, because they idolize the gift instead of worshiping God in the man or the Word of God that's coming from the man's lips. They idolize the gift and God hates it. Happy Valley, you will destroy me if you idolize my gift. You'll destroy Brother David, Brother Darren, Brother Terry, the minister from this church, if you idolize our gift. Idolize no man. Idolize no man's gift.
Well, praise the Lord. Oh my. Notice this in verse 28. Apollos now is moved into what an understanding God's given. And he mightily convinced the Jews. Notice now the nouns, the adjectives, and the things that Luke puts together. When you look at it in the Greek, it's quite amazing. Luke was quite a scholar himself. But look at the words that he's using to describe this Apollos. He never says this about Paul. Oh my Lord, I'm fixing to get stoned. Can we understand that there are preachers in the message that are more gifted than others?
by the way they speak, by the way they're anointed, or whatever more. Does that mean the others aren't important? Does that mean the guy who has under 50 in his church, why, we don't need him no more? The people that have a storefront church, that mean we don't meet them? That's wrong, friends. We need every God called man, every God called church. The size has no relevance to it than the importance in God. This man must have been quite a man. My, when I got to studying about this man, I thought, what a brother. I can't wait to meet this man. To be so gifted and to keep himself. I can't find one speck of scripture, one speck of history where the man ever tried to found a move or ever try to find a cult or ever try to found anything away from the prophet of the ages ministering gift. What a man. Oh my. For he mightily convinced. I ain't even going to try to say this Greek word here. I realize Apollos could say it frontwards, backwards, sideways, and upside down. But as you know, I'm not Apollos. To confute with rivalry an effort or in a contest. When I read about this man, I kind of thought of a dear friend of mine about yay tall, black-headed, real dark eyes, not mentioning any names or anything. He mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. You imagine he was walking all around it. Maybe he was sitting at the table with Aquila and Priscilla. And the brother, the head of the home, just, brother, you know, maybe, reckon there could be more to this than what you're actually seeing. Well, maybe there are, brother. Praise God, I'm hoping I'm ready to be corrected. Hallelujah. Did John the Baptist preach a tape that I didn't get a hold of or something? Now, brother, you're right in line that God sent the Baptist, but the prophet introduced somebody else.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You see, Apollos had missed the introduction. Woo! Come on now, children. I love to hear the hunting stories and the fishing stories and this and that. And I talked to a brother today from out in Arizona. Tell me about some of the experiences that he had with Brother Branham. I sat right there on the phone quiet as a mouse listening. Because I enjoy listening to him. But let me tell you something. The prophet of God never come to introduce himself. He come to build a platform. Amen. For Jesus Christ. He did not come to build a platform for his son or from some other man to follow him. Come on now. He come to introduce Jesus Christ, the Word. No matter how eloquent we are in preaching the prophet, come on now, brother. Let's praise Christ. This word here in the Greek is very strong. It means stoutly bore them down in argument. And God so anointed this man and his mannerism. When he got done, they didn't know what to say.
Sure.
He vigorously argued them down. Now it don't say they got the Holy Ghost. But they were argued down. And some folks, that's all you can do anyway. Notice he mightily convinced the Jews. And that publicly. I mean, he wasn't doing it behind a house somewhere where nobody seemed. Just get right in front of him and say, now I hear y'all attacking Jesus. Well, I'm here in his defense.
Amen.
And boy, he'd start in Psalm 69, maybe Genesis 3:15, Nahum 2:14. He'd go to Zechariah 7. He'd go over here over there and they'd sit sitting there dumbfounded. I'd say, Lord have mercy. This guy's a young guy. This man ain't no old man. He ain't no rabbi. Somebody told me he's a Jew from down in Egypt. Been down there all them years. He ain't got no rabbinical school down there. Where'd he learn this? Heaven. And the Spirit of God used this man and he confounded them Jews. His reasoning was so strong and his argument so weighty and heavy. He just hushed them. Now you don't find Luke saying this about Paul. Look, Friend, God loves diversity. They could not object to scripture texts that he used. Oh my. They were profound. They were just sitting there. Oh my goodness. Now watch how this move had affected others. Acts chapter 19 verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. Now Paul was in Corinth for a year and 6 months. Now the church is established. They still got their problems. But Paul feels now to move on. When he does, Apollos goes to Corinth. And Paul heads to Ephesus. Now it comes to the upper coast, to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. He said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Yes. Now, Brother Anna said these was good Baptist believers. And they thought they'd got the Holy Ghost when they believed. They said unto him, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." Now friends, this is several years after Jesus has come and ascended. This is several years after the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they're still following the teaching of John. It was a big move among the original apostolic church on the fringes of those that was following the prophet and never catching the emphasis of who he introduced. Now this is years after all this has taken place. Now you imagine, so Paul comes up to them and he finds certain disciples. So they are identified by message terms. Disciples. Now the Jews did not call one another this. They did not call it. The Greeks didn't call one another that. It was followers of the new message. So they are identified as disciples. So Paul maybe noticed their dress. Maybe noticed their talk. But there's something about them. The Spirit of God, you know, raising up something there. And he said, "Have you ever seen the Holy Ghost since you believe? Y'all don't act like Holy Ghost filled believers to me." And they said unto him, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." What's that? What's a Holy Ghost? I find this so odd and so strange. The man that were following John the Baptist got in his mother's womb. His mama got it and his daddy got it. And they hadn't even heard about it. Boy, you ask them about John now. They could talk doing some talking about John. Oh my. You ask them, "Was John a prophet?" Bless God. I'll tell you one thing. I stood down there with him on the creek bank that day. He baptized them people and them priests come down there. Glory to God. That prophet blazing fire coming out of his eyes. And he stood there and said, "Repent! Repent!" Man, they could quote John the Baptist just like that. But when it come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they hadn't even heard of it. Oh my. "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." So we've heard of John and we've heard of the Messiah, but we ain't heard of no baptism stuff for us. You mean there's something we're supposed to do we can have too besides just arguing doctrine? And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" Now he knew there's a link between the correct water baptism and the new birth. Isn't this amazing? Now you're preaching the Holy Ghost and you're telling people there's a Holy Ghost and they say they ain't heard nothing about it. And before you pray for them to get the Holy Ghost, you want to know how they got baptized in water. Now what difference would that make? Apparently a lot. If not, you'd wait till after they get the Holy Ghost and then instruct them on the Holy Ghost and the correctness of water baptism. But first he said, "Hey, tell me, speaking of that, how was y'all baptized?" Oh my. Notice this. And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Now, you see, them knowing that the Holy Ghost had not come, he pretty well knew this baptized wrong. Because the illumination of the indwelling of deity would link right back to the correct formula of water baptism. Now, you can be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus so the tadpoles know you by name, but there is a spiritual understanding to that water baptism as well, that what the preacher is doing to you naturally, God wants to do to you spiritually. And when you understand it ain't you, I got to beat the altar to get the Holy Ghost. He wants to give you the Holy Ghost more than you want it. Oh, Brother Donnie, I've tarried. Quit tarrying. Let him fill you. You don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till next week. You can get it right here tonight. All you got to do is let go and let God. Let the Holy Ghost accept you. Most people are baptized by preachers or deacons easier than they're baptized by God. Now, can you imagine Brother Terry, Brother David, one of these brothers or deacon brother getting ready to baptize somebody in water, and they stand there. You know, they're just standing with their arms like this, and they're saying whatever more. You know, I talk to the brother, and the brother's opinion, the sister, whatever more. And they're standing there real still, and they're just waiting. Now, brother, sister, according to the word of God, and we'll be. But can you imagine if that person... Well, first of all, 3/4 of you'd be out the door. I said, dear God, it's a demon. If they fought that man baptizing him, how could he ever put him down? Unless he just got real mad and ducked him. Most people submit to a preacher to baptize them in water, but they wrestle against God, the only Holy Ghost baptizer. If we'd submit to God just that simply, Brother Darrell, it's just that easy. As you'd come, you young people, and you stand there and you submit. If you fight and kick and call and scratch the preacher, he can't never take you down. It's the same way with God. If God says, let this go, let that go, quit this, quit that, don't fight the baptizer. Amen. Don't fight the baptizer. Yield to the baptizer as he takes you down into the Holy Ghost. If you're fighting the baptizer. So what's the key? Let go and let God. I ain't falling on that floor. You can forget that. That part of the drama ended right there. If we can learn how. It's the same way with things in your life you're going through. Let go and let God. Several years ago, I had a real bad bout of inner ear stuff. I was so dizzy, I couldn't hardly stand up. I couldn't walk. One of the sisters of the church had told Carol, I think it was Carol, one of my daughters, one, about this woman that has some kind of something or another that she does. It sounded really bizarre to me, but I was at the place I thought, I've got to have help. So she come to the house. Carol was in there and my daughter Lish. This woman come there and she explained to me what it was. It's called rocks in your head. Don't laugh at me. You got them too. In the inner ear, the way it all works with the stirrup and the horse and the cow and all that, you know what I'm talking about. Once it gets in there, and this woman explained to me, now what I'm going to do, they call it a method, it's got a scientific name for it. And she said, I want you to get up on the bed and I want you to come halfway, I want you to lay down and I want you to totally just commit yourself to me. Right. So as I said, Carol's there, my daughter's there, you know, so... I'm sitting up on the bed, or laying there rather, halfway up. She said, I'm going to throw you down. And then I'm going to bring you back up. I was already as sick as a horse. But you know what? I had to commit myself to that. I didn't understand it. But it actually helped me. So this woman throwed me. I've been slam dunk like a quarterback on the NFL. She slammed me back and jerked me back up and flung me around. And time she got done, them rocks got straightened out. But I had to trust something I didn't understand. I had to trust something I'd never done before. Hallelujah! But I took somebody else's work that it work. Oh, let me tell you tonight, you've got to trust this God which can baptize you in the Holy Ghost and give you His own life. Lay aside your feeling. Lay aside your past. Lay aside your sin and let Him immerse you into the Holy Ghost.
Now, please, friends, don't try that remedy at home. I'll be preaching a bunch of funerals here in the next 2 weeks. Man throws wife out of bed. It's got to be somebody that knows what they're doing. You see, your mama can't give you the Holy Ghost. Your preacher can't give you the Holy Ghost. God is the only Holy Ghost baptizer. He said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? They said unto him, they said, unto John's baptism. My Lord, what a scripture connecting the correct water baptism to the Holy Ghost. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Amen. When they heard this, they argued and fussed and debated and kicked and stomped. I said, I gotta go home and talk to mama. I'll get back with you. These were elect people. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Praise God. A direct link of getting the Holy Ghost to the correct water baptism. You sitting here tonight that's been baptized correctly? What's hindering you? Oh my. And all the men were about 12. Big church, huh? You imagine a prophet of the age preaching to 12 people. My God. But what's amazing when you compare now? Apollos, he argued, he debated, he dug into these guys. Scripture says nothing about them getting the Holy Ghost. It says nothing about them getting baptized right. You see, some people just have to be argued down and shut up, basically, and you go on. You're never going to change them. You're never going to fix them. But God wants their hide smoked so much, they look like a rack of ribs. You smoke them, and you go on. Others, God wants them changed. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. It wasn't enough to argue these folks. Paul's going to stay with them until they lead them right there to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. Now watch him how he changes. Disputing. Now, when he's in this little small home meeting, he don't dispute. He don't argue. But boy, when he gets in that synagogue, you imagine them brothers coming over there just sitting there crying. They got the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost is going to fall on this place. And Paul gets up there like a lion. I'm telling you, you bunch of Jewish rabbis. You're saying, is that the same man that was at our house yesterday? He's preaching so different. What was the difference? The congregation dictated the way the sermon went. Your needs dictate the way a preacher will preach. Do you imagine they were overwhelmed as they heard this very same man preaching the Holy Ghost? But here he is, and how was y'all baptized? He was disputing. My, coming on real strong. Spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers, which means different kinds, were hardened. You mean the truth will harden people. So he preaches for 3 months, and what's it do, Brother Dale? Many of them just got harder and harder and harder. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of Tyrannus. So now it's a change. Now Paul moves over into the school of this rich man, which was a scholar himself, which taught Latin and Greek, the arts, languages, and culture. So the synagogue, it got pretty rough. So God had a full gospel businessman's situation so he could give Paul a place to preach. Now they can throw you out of the synagogue, but if you get a man that owns the building and fill him with the Holy Ghost, and he can say, preach it, brother. Oh, brother, don't tell me God don't know what he's doing. Now you imagine this guy here, he's preaching on the side Greek and Latin and Aramaic and the cultures and the sciences and all this sort of thing. And Paul's preaching the new birth and predestination and election in another room over here. And they can't come in and say, hey, you can't do this. He said, this school belongs to me. This man is a teacher. I've hired him in my employment. He's also an assurance salesman. Not insurance, but assurance. This man works for me now. Can you imagine in 1965 I heard the prophet say today, nearly every door in the country shut on me. But this full gospel businessman has been an oasis for me. Amen. Thank God for Carl Williams and those men that kept it open. Look at the great sermons you feast on that come preached out of her full gospel businessman's meeting. Can you imagine God resorts to a school? Mom, let's stand together. Praise God. Paul actually continues here for 2 years. Remember I told you the city of Corinth, he was there for a year and 6 months. He's in Ephesus actually working this out of the schoolroom, this man's place of business. He stays there for a long term time of 2 years. Makes a trip back to Corinth, goes to Laodicea, Colossae, Hierapolis. Out of this work come several of these young men that I read their names a while ago. From Colossae, from Laodicea, from Hierapolis, from other places. And Paul uses this place as a place of his headquarters. So he goes out and preaches and comes back and teaches. And he goes out and holds a meeting over here and he comes back and teaches more. And he goes out and holds a meeting. And from there, right under the devil's big fat nose, God is reaching a predestinated seed. Not only are churches being formed, but leaders are being born. And you imagine it was close enough, Colossae and Laodicea and Hierapolis and some of these other places, and these men of God would come and they'd sit under the prophet and hear him teach as he was there teaching off and on for a period of 3 years.
Amen. That's good.
Let me say to our current president and whoever the next one's going to be, congressmen, senators, mayors, sheriffs, garbage collectors, and everybody else, our God will allow his word to go on until the last one is reached. I don't care how many laws Congress passes. I don't care what our president does or says or what threats they make. God will win. I read yesterday where Mr. Putin is training their people with gas masks and training them in evacuation. Did you read this week of the new bomb that they've just made, the identity known of it, the name of it, Satan 2?
one can destroy Europe. Do you know what that means? It's going home time. Brother Donnie, reckon we need a gas mask? We need the Holy Ghost? Are you putting food away? No, Brother Ram done that for me. Woo! I'm eating up on stored food that was put up. Oh, Brother Donnie, grab some green beans, grab some corn, grab some broccoli. What for? The mark of the beast to get it. The stored food that I'm feeding on, Brother Sister, done been stored up and kept reserved for this last days. If they're getting ready their bombs and are ready today, the prophet said there's one with America's name is already wrote on it. You imagine saying that in 1956? If they've done that then, how much more is it now? But before one of them ever touches this soil, you'll be gone. Amen. You'll be gone. You have got a warning system. It's not intercontinental mystic ballista. It is a baptism of the Holy Ghost with a revelation of the Word of God. It will never touch you. Hallelujah. One of the newspapers in New York today said Hillary said she was standing between us and a cataclysmic explosion. I thought, you ain't standing between me and that. My Jesus is standing between me and that. Oh, I hate it, friends. I hate it. America's going to be blown up. I hate she's going to be annihilated, but it's her own fault. She chose this way. Isn't it amazing? Something that scares most Americans to death, and you're smiling about it. I mean, you folks are nuts. They're talking about atomic bombs and they're getting ready. Y'all say, yes, yes, glory, glory. Feeling your wings on your back, as it were. Wow, all things are ready. Rest has found her place. My, my, is that true? The car has found its place. All these other things have found this place. Find yours, my brother. Rest is getting ready. All the world is getting ready. And I'm getting ready. Are you getting ready to leave this world? Hallelujah. Let us find our place. You know, the book of Acts, unlike the rest of the New Testament books, were closed with an amen. The book of Acts is not closed with an amen. But it's going to be. You're the amen. Because the book of Acts won't continue when we're gone. We're the last chapters, the last verses of the book of Acts. Amen. Amen. Oh, children, don't you love Him with all your hearts? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, Lord. All things are moving in that cycle, Lord Jesus. UNESCO, the UN, trying to say that the Temple Mount does not belong to Jerusalem, to Israel. Yet, in May, when they was digging around the outer walls of the city of David, they begin to dig around and find some things they'd never found before. And they got out the book of Josephus, and they found they had dug down to the siege in A.D. 70. And they found stones that Titus had thrown upon Jerusalem. And the measurements that Josephus described 2,000 years ago, they found it right there buried under heaps of rubble and sand. And the great archaeologist of Israel said, once again, this proves this is our land. Glory. But the war is on, trying to take their inheritance away from them. Well, Lord, we're not digging around in a bunch of rocks. We're digging around in a revelation of the Word. We go past our birth. We go past our conception. We go past time. And we go back into the very mind of God. And we find our identity there. When you gave birth to a son, the Logos,
We passed from the genes of the eternal into the genes of the Logos. We were with you, Lord Jesus, when you walked Galilee. We were with you when you died. And we raised with you. And now we're sitting with you. Once again, Satan will try to take our inheritance, our right. But this is our Mount Zion. Glory. Hallelujah. We are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Father, I pray if there's one here tonight, Lord, or under the sound of my voice, that's streaming the service or they'll archive it without the Holy Ghost. Through that little simple illustration, Lord, of someone baptizing them in water. Maybe they're afraid of water. Maybe they have a great fear. Yet they step in there and they trust the hands of that preacher or the one standing with him. Or if it's a deacon, brother, whoever it is. They have to lay aside that fear and ask you to help them. So they can be baptized to fulfill your word. Lord Jesus, may they be that submissive tonight. Not to me, not to any of the rest of these preachers, but to Almighty God. To commit their soul into your care that you can immerse them into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Into Zoe, an inherent nature by possession of a new birth. Oh Lord God, you're the only one that can baptize us. Lord, if there's any young people, older people, whoever here tonight, may they just simply walk right up, as it were, and say, Lord God, baptize me. Baptize me. God, I've got to be honest. I've held on to this and I've held on to that. And I haven't thought I was worthy. And I was afraid I might get real emotional. I was afraid I might shout. And I didn't want to be embarrassed. But I trust you, Lord. I just trust you. Baptize me. You ain't going to let me die. You'll bring me back up. And you'll bring me back up a new person. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, when you get done with them, I wouldn't care if you just kind of rebaptized me tonight. I wouldn't care to have a refilling. I done got sealed a long time ago, but I wouldn't care to have a refilling tonight right here, Lord, in your presence. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I may like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Would you turn and lay your hand on the individuals that are standing by you? Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Darrell, would you come here? Pray for the people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we bow into your great presence tonight, Lord. We are so grateful for the word of God that we have heard. Knowing, dear God, it is the doctrine of the branch, Father, that was birthed on the day of Pentecost from the vine, Lord.
Oh God.
Father, the prophet taught us, Lord, that every time that vine would put forth another branch, that doctrine would come forth. It would bring the same results, dear God.
Yes,
and Lord, we believe that we are that branch in this hour, Lord, continuing on the doctrines, dear God, that you have placed upon the body of believers, Lord, for the head, Lord, coming into the body, uniting as one, God. And tonight, in obedience to your word, Lord, we lay our hands upon one another.
Yes,
for you,
Lord,
said in your word, these signs shall follow them.
Hallelujah.
That believe, dear God. Father, we believe we're more than just a creed, more than just a dogma, dear God, more than just an organization, but we believe that we are the very breath of God represented in flesh in this hour, dear God. Oh, Father, once more, Lord, the world will hear from heaven. It'll be through this end time people, dear God, with signs and wonders wrought at their hands, God. In obedience tonight, we lay our hands upon one another, Lord.
Yes,
we surrender to you, dear God, to your will, Father. May the anointing, Lord, same anointing that raised Christ from the grave,
Lord.
Oh God. May it come down tonight, Father, and resurrect us, Father, into life, we pray, as it flows from one to the other, to the other. Oh God, may we not be stimulated by education, dear God, but may we be stimulated by the very fire of God, Lord. For Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. And on the day of Pentecost, Father, when you breathe upon the church, it was the fire of God that burnt the church. And oh, oh God, tonight. Set our souls on fire,
yes,
God.
Lord.
From one to the other, to the other, until the whole congregation is a raging fire, dear God. Knowing, Lord Jesus, that the disciples, Lord, they gathered, Father God, around that sacred fire because they know you as the God of fire. And tonight, Lord, we gather around the fire of the living God,
yes, Lord.
May
Jesus.
It flow from one to the other tonight. May our old and may our young, may our mamas and our daddies and our brothers and our sisters. Oh, God, come, Father, not under an organization title, not signing our name to something, Lord, but a birth, dear God, tonight. Father, resurrection, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray tonight, Father. And oh, Lord, may the healing virtue flow that our faith can accept, God. Oh, God, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the healing of our bodies, God. For we know these things, God. They are our redemptive blessings, Lord, that's been given to us, Father God. It is our inheritance, Lord.
Thank
as
you,
Caleb
Lord.
Said, give me my mountain, God.
Yes, Lord.
It's my inheritance, Lord. Amen. It's what you said I could have, Lord.
Grant it, Lord
we
Jesus.
Believe it tonight, God.
Thank
bless
you,
your brothers, love brothers and sisters,
hallelujah.
Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Flow down upon us, Lord God. Wash us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Cleanse us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, sanctify us, Lord. Set our souls on fire,
Lord.
God.
Grant it, Lord.
Oh, we believe,
grant
Lord,
it, Lord,
that we are the period, Lord.
Hallelujah.
The continuation, dear God.
Thank
showing
you,
yourself
Jesus.
The same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes, Father.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I believe it, Lord. I receive it tonight,
yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Praise
it is your word,
be to
Lord God.
God.
I believe your
yes,
word,
Lord.
Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank
praise
you,
your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. We magnify your name, O God. We worship you tonight. You're that same God that moved to the upper coast of Ephesus almost 2,000 years ago. Pass among us tonight, Lord God. Pass among us with healing, deliverance. Oh, hallelujah. For the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Father. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Lord God. We bless your name. You love him, saint. Oh, my, if you're standing here tonight and you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, why don't you just close your eyes? Just raise your hands. Commit yourself to the baptizer. Will I shout, Brother Donnie? You may not. Will I speak in tongues? You may not. But I know one thing, you'll be changed when you come up. Hallelujah. He wants to give it to you tonight right here more than you want it. You think you hunger? He wants to fill you right now. Every young person, every adult, every mom or dad, or those of you that are streaming the service, wherever you are. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. May you open your heart tonight. Just walk in there in that realm, as it were, in the spiritual baptistry with God. Amen. Just commit yourself to him. Let him baptize you into the Holy Ghost. The prophet tells us in the future home, it's not you accepting the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost accepting you. Walk in there, let him cleanse you, let him purge you of everything, and you just commit your pride, everything else to him. Let him immerse you into himself.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. We worship you tonight, mighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We believe tonight, Father, the book of Acts is still in the making. We believe that Holy Ghost is still among your people. We thank you for it, Father. We see signs and wonders and healings and miracles and all kinds of things that only you can do. And for that, we are eternally grateful. But Lord, what's even greater than that? We see people's lives who are changed and given a new nature. The sick can be healed and get sick again. But if their nature's ever changed from a vile, wretched sinner to the nature of a son of God, and they cross that line, they'll never be a sinner again. Hallelujah. Something eternally has transpired in their hearts, and they'll never return to a time being again. But they have crossed the line from time to the eternal. Oh, bless your name tonight, Lord. Can we just raise our hands, friends, in the presence of God? Oh, let's just give him a wave offering, can we? Oh, hallelujah. I know it's the middle of the week. I know you got school and work and all, but let's forget all that for a few minutes. My, we're in the presence of Almighty God. We're in the presence of the King. The one who's going to change our bodies is right here in our midst. The one that we're going to meet after a while. Remember, you're not going to meet a doctrine. You're not going to heaven to meet a doctrine. It wasn't a doctrine that died for you. It was a person. It's not a doctrine that's coming back for you. It's a person. It's not a doctrine that's going to sit on the throne of God. It's a person. I don't want just doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. I want to meet the person of the Lord Jesus. I love that person. Oh, I love that person tonight. Hallelujah. We worship you, mighty God. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. We adore you, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Oh, don't you appreciate his goodness to you, saints? Oh, Brother Donnie, oh, what could I ever do to deserve this? Nothing, absolutely nothing we could ever do. It's unmerited favor. Amen. Brother Louis, come and lead us in a song, brother. Oh my, let's just praise him just a little bit more, saints, before we go. It's a little bit early yet. My, you'll stand outside and talk a little bit after church. I believe our time better spent right here in the presence of God than talking about it. Amen. Oh my, let's just love him real good. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Oh, Holy Ghost baptizer, walk up and down these aisles tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You directed me in that way, Father. You know I had no intention in going that way. That was not premeditated at all. You were speaking to somebody's heart right here tonight, Lord. I pray they received a rhema word from God. Hallelujah. May they not just receive a rhema word, but may they receive the gushing of the waters of heaven down inside their soul. You anointed me in that direction, Lord. I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, may whoever it was sent for, may they receive it right now. Glory to God. Oh, we worship you, Lord. What could be greater than even one soul right here tonight, or one soul streaming the service, gets filled with the Holy Ghost, gets sealed to the day of their redemption? What value could we put on that tonight, Lord? Oh, hallelujah. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead, Brother Louis. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, blessed Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Go to that land.
Jesus will be there. King Jesus will be there. King Jesus will be there in that land. King Jesus will be there. King Jesus will be there. King Jesus will be there in that land. So don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Don't you want to go to that land?
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't you want to go to that land? Don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound?
Praise be to God. I'm going. Going with me? Praise God. Let's get ready. Pack up. Get everything off of you and light the world. Let's get ready to leave this place.
I'm getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. Watching both day and night, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the King of Pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night.
Pray together and we'll let you go. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the service, Lord, for the opportunity that we could be gathered together again. Pray, Lord, that you'd go with us, each of us, as we go our separate ways. It'd be pleasing to you. May we be able to gather here again, dear God. And if not, may there not be a one of us missing that day. Glory to God when the great table will be spread. Each of us will find our place and we'll come in and sit down. Look across the table at one another. Take one another by the hand. Tears go to trickling out of our eyes.
great king will walk out, say, "Don't cry no more, children. You take your robe and wipe the tears out of our eyes for the last time." Praise God. We want to be there, Lord. We're going to be there by your grace, because you have made a way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we have a bomb shelter. It's not concrete. It's not titanium. It's not metal. It's feathers. Hallelujah. Feathers. Glory to God. Under the wings of our Father, we'll fly away. We'll rise above the nuclear fallout. Glory to God. We'll sail away. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Father. Go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. Bye-bye.
To prepare a mansion, Jesus said, "I'll go. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while to linger here below. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready to leave this world. Getting ready for the gate of pearl. Keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world." God bless you, church. You're dismissed. To leave this world, getting ready for the game.